Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries, INC. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening in Talk Through the Bible. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to call in 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. So at this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. But we never like to start our broadcast without inviting the Holy Spirit to come in the midst of it all. But first, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we enter into this sanctuary, we bring your presence with us. We speak your peace, your grace, your mercy, and your perfect order into this sanctuary. We acknowledge your power over all that will be spoken, thought, decided, and done within these walls. Lord, we thank you for the gifts you have blessed us with. We commit to using them responsibly in your honor. Give us a fresh supply of strength to do our jobs, to anoint our projects, our ideas, and energy, so that even our smallest accomplishment may bring you glory. And Lord, when we are confused, please guide us. When we are weary, please energize us. When we are burnt out, please infuse us with the light of the Holy Spirit. And may the work that we do and the way that we do it bring faith, joy, and a smile to all that we come in contact with today. And, oh, Lord, when we leave this sanctuary, give us traveling mercy. Bless our families and homes to be in order as we left it. And, Lord, we thank you for everything you have done. We thank you for everything you're doing. We thank you for everything you're going to do. And we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. By Francesca. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, Your Longing. Praise be to God. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Romans 8, 23 through 25, where it says, not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Amen. Praise be to God. My second scripture reading from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 through 19. And it says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Praise God. And my third scripture reading for this message is coming from Romans 15 and 13. And it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Again, the title for this message is Love Your Longing, for heaven is good because it is an extension of your yearning for me. The hope of heaven is meant to strengthen and encourage you, fill you with wondrous joy. Many Christians have misunderstood this word hope, believing that it denotes wishful thinking. Nothing could be farther from the truth. As soon as I became your savior, heaven became your ultimate destination. The phrase hope of heaven highlights the benefits you can enjoy even while remaining on earth. This hope keeps you spiritually alive during dark times of adversity. It brightens your path and heightens your awareness of my presence. My dear, my desire is that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing unto you as it is unto me. Praise be to God. So at this time, I will play another selection.
In the dichotomy of man, my flesh cries out because my burdens get heavy and my mind seems confused. But my spirit answers back and says, don't worry. God is right there. He's never failed. He will fight every battle. I've learned to trust in the Lord.
Where my the midst of all of my trials.
My Lord prospers.
All of my tribulations.
My Lord prospers.
I learned to trust in Jesus.
My Lord prospers.
Oh, yes, I have.
My Lord prospers.
Oh, fuck me out. Fuck that out. Fuck me out. Fuck me out. Stop trusting chariots. Stop trusting me.
Praise God. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial 319-527-6204. Amen. Praise be to God. The next selection will be Lord, You Are Holy.
Magnify
Disciples, we will trust you, we will obey your teachings, and we will share your good news. You have given us life abundant and life eternal, and we will follow you today and forever. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Oh, I wanna be more than an ordinary servant.
Amen. Praise be to God. It is now time for our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. Amen. Which is entitled, I Am His Hands. And my scripture reading is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 21. And this chapter is verses are talking about one body with many parts. Amen. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part where he wants it. Amen? How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. The text for this message is coming from 1 Corinthians 12 and 21, where it says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The writer says, Jair Hafaya lost his sight in the year 2000. His friend, Jair Wenji, lost his arms as a child, but they have found a way around their disabilities. I am his hands, and he is my eyes. Hayeksa says, together, they are transforming their village in China. Since 2002, the friends have been on a mission to regenerate a wasteland near their home. Each day, Hafa climbs on Wenji's back to cross a river to the site. Wenji then hands Heisa a shovel with his foot before Heisa places a pail on a pole between Wenji's cheek and shoulders. And as one digs, the other waters trees. More than 10,000 so far. Working together, we don't feel disabled at all. Hafa says, we're a team. The Apostle Paul likens the church to a body, each part needing the other to function. If the church were all eyes, they had be no hearing. If all ears, there'll be no sense of smell. 1 Corinthians 12:14-17. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Paul says in verse 21, each of us plays a role in the church based on our spiritual gifts in verses 7-11 and 18. Like Jaya Hafaya and Jaya Wenji, when we combine our strengths, we can bring change to the world. Two men combining their abilities to regenerate a wasteland, what a picture of the church in action. Question. Based on your spiritual gifts, what part do you play in the body of Christ? And how are you joining with others to fulfill his mission? Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for giving us spiritual gifts and arranging us in a body where we're needed. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. And that concludes our daily bread and scriptural reading for this evening. To God be the glory. So again, at this time, I will play another selection while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening.
And is able. The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able, amen. He's able. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah. I come to let you know that my God is able. Able to set you free. Yes, my God, he is able. Yeah. Oh, I come to let you know. Oh, that my God is able. Yes, he is able to heal you now. Yes, my God is able. I think you don't know. I said, I come to let you know that the God of the Bible, he is able. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Able to set you free, set you free, set you free, set you free. My God is able. My God is able. Yes, I know he's able to heal you now, to heal you now, yeah. Oh, my God is able. Sing to them, heaven. I came to let you know that my God is able, yeah. To set you free. Yes, my God is able. I came to let you know tonight, it's part of what you're going through, that my God is able. Able to set you free. Oh, yes, my God. Yeah. I came to let you know. My God is able.
whatever you're going through tonight, just remember, my God is able.
That my God is able, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able.
Your neighbor, tell him it's able.
Able.
Come on, say it's able. What you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose, and is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give him a try? Reach out to the Lord, call on his name, cause he's able, cause he's able. My God, my God, my God, my God, my God is able. Able to release you, able to set you free, able to heal you, yeah. Able to deliver you, able to rescue you, able to hold you up, able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is
is able to provide, yeah. He's able to make way out of no way. He's God that makes something out of nothing. Hallelujah, he's the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes he is, yes he is. Oh, I know, I can't let you know that my God is able.
Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise. Somebody give him glory. Give him worship. We worship you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, there is none like you, Lord. Oh, come on, praise him because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. You able, Lord. You able, Lord.
Amen. Lord. Sometimes this world can become a place of busyness, frustration, and confusion. Slow us down, Lord, that we might see the needs of those around us. Today, help us show mercy to those in need. Today, let us spread kind words of thanksgiving and celebration in honor of your Son. Today, let forgiveness rule our heart, and every day, Lord, let our love for Christ be reflected through deeds of kindness for those who need the healing touch of the Master's hand. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love that song. And
yes.
That concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now we're going to get into our lesson and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. And we're going to welcome our Lady Nadine with a hand clap praise. Amen.
Thank you. God is good.
All the time.
Yes, so it's good to be here another evening. I mean, you know, God is so good because he's just an awesome God that we serve. And we just want to thank God for every single opportunity that he gives us to take the time and study his word. I mean, we learn that in order to be close to God, in order to know what it is that God wants of us, it's important for us to know God. And the only way that we can get to know God is to get to know his word and get to understand the message that God has sent us in the Bible. Because the Bible is our guide to how the Lord wants us to live our lives. So, Lord God, we want to pray for an increase, Lord God, that others will feel the need and the desire, Lord God, to learn more about you, Lord God, and just come and decide to join the class, Lord God. And if there's anything that we should be doing, Lord God, as your people, your leaders, Lord God, to invite more people into these Bible study classes, Lord God, we just open up our hearts to you, Lord God, that you will give us the tools that we need, Lord God, so that we can have the increase, Lord God, and that you, Lord God, can bring, especially from our church, Lord God, but anybody, Lord God, that they would want to know more about the Bible, Lord God, that they would come and learn with us, Lord God. We learn together. And the more we know about you, Lord God, the closer we get to you, Lord God, the better we'll know what you expect of us, Lord God. So we're praying for an increase, Lord God, and we're putting it in your hands, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise be to
Amen.
God.
Amen. Oh, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm just at a point where I won't complain. I am just so grateful to be here another day, another minute, another second. So I won't complain.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah. Amen. Did I tell you the what I think I told you what I ended up putting with my eyes?
Yes.
Did I tell you what I did with my eyes?
Yes, you put asthma thing.
Asthma thing in my eyes. So you know I'm grateful to
Thank
God.
Thank God it was expired.
Thank you, God, it was expired. It's right. So I think I got rid of that quick, fast in a hurry.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know why I still had it. I don't even know why
I don't
still
either.
Have like,
I mean, like,
you know,
well,
you
yes, I do. Because I do the same thing. I instead of throwing it out once it expires, I just keep it.
Well, I still have her nebulizer, which I've had since she was I had to get the nebulizer since she was 5 years old. So I've just taken all that stuff and just putting it downstairs because it's all old equipment that's just taking up a drawer that I could use for
exactly.
other stuff.
Exactly. Yes.
So that's how I feel that lesson was. Get rid of it, Nadine.
That's
so I
right.
I will do that. But anyway, we are still, and we're finishing up Habakkuk today, and then we're going to move on to Zephaniah is our next. Our next prophet. So for Habakkuk, we're up to, we're talking about the survey of Habakkuk. And we talked about the problems of Habakkuk. Do you remember what was Habakkuk's problems?
he was wanted to know why the wicked prosper and the poor doesn't. So he was angry about that.
Yes, 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 yes. And then when God, he was angry about that, but then God told him what his plan was. How did he feel about God's plan?
Okay, what was God's plan? I forgot.
What was God's plan? He complained to God about these people who were, wicked.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What did God tell him he was going to do?
Well, in other words, he's telling them that, they prosper for only for a little while, but afterwards they going to hell.
Right, but particularly what type of hell were they going to go in? What was they going to go through? What was God?
Oh,
they
was
what
gonna
did
be,
God tell her about?
He was going to turn them over to the Babylonians.
Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's what he told Abaka. And remember, Abaka was like, "What?
Yes.
You can't be serious."
Yeah, he was
These
upset.
People are worse than us.
Yeah.
He was upset, right? He wanted God to punish them, but he didn't want them to punish them like that,
Exactly.
So, but God's answer, so this answer leads Habakkuk, second dialogue with God. And that's verse 1:12-2:20, which, we're not going to read it, but the prophet, he was more perplexed than ever and asked how the righteous God
mm-hmm.
can punish Judah with a nation that was even more wicked
than
Judah. Right. So that was, and if you can get that, Sister Hilda, it's chapter 1, verse 12.
Okay.
To chapter 2, verse 1.
Okay. God bless you, Sister Barbara. How are you this evening?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you all?
Blessed, thank you.
Oh, good to hear your voice.
Good to have you this evening.
On a Wednesday evening.
Okay, you said
1:12.
Okay. 1:12-2. Okay. 12 says.
We're on Habakkuk. We're on Habakkuk, Sister Barbara.
Yes. Thank you.
And we're doing the survey.
Mm-hmm.
And this is Habakkuk's second complaint. And I'm reading from the New Living. And he said,
okay.
Oh, Lord, my God, my Holy One, you who are eternal, surely you do not plan to wipe us out. Oh, Lord, our rock, you have sent these Babylonians to correct us, to punish us for our many sins. But you are pure and cannot stand the sight of evil. Will you wink at their treachery? Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? Are we only fish to be caught and killed? Are we only sea creatures that have no leader? Must we be strung up on their hooks and caught in their nets while they rejoice and celebrate? Then they will worship their nets and burn incense in front of them. These nets are the gods who have made us rich. They will claim. Will you let them get away with this forever? Will they succeed forever in their heartless conquest? I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my God post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. You said 2-2?
No, 2-1. Yeah.
Oh, that was 2-1. Yeah.
Okay. So
he had a whole lot to complain about.
He sure did, right? He's like, wait, these people are worse than us, and these are the people that you're going to, you know.
Yeah.
going to give us over to? So it says, will the God whose eyes are too pure to approve evil reward the Babylonians for their cruelty and adultery? Habakkuk stands upon a watchtower to wait for God's reply. And the Lord answers with a series of five woes, greed and aggression, exploitation and extortion, violence, immorality, adultery. So the first series, the first one is, Sister Hilda, if you could take greed and aggression, that's 2, 5, and 8. Sister Barbara, if you can take exploitation and exhaustion, that's chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, and violence, I'll do 12 and 14. Okay, so
okay,
Hilda,
two,
you can
five,
go now. Greed and aggression.
Okay, wealth is treacherous. And the arrogant are never at rest. They open their mouths as wide as the grave, and like death, they are never satisfied. In their greed, they have gathered up many nations and swallowed many people. But soon their captives will taunt them. They will mock them, saying, "What sorrow awaits you, thieves? Now you will get what you deserve. You have become rich by extortion, but how much longer can this go on? Suddenly, your debtors will take action. They will turn on you and take all you have while you stand trembling and helpless, because you have plundered many nations. Now all the survivors will plunder you. You committed murder throughout the countryside and filled the towns with violence." Amen. Let me turn that down. I didn't realize it was so loud. Oh, I'm sorry. Our first lady got cut off. Okay.
Thank you.
Back.
Thanks. Did we do exploitation, exhaustion? Sister Barbara?
Is that 2 and 2? No. 2, 9 to 11.
Yeah, 2, 9 to 11. Mm-hmm.
Who do you think you are? Recklessly grabbing and looting, living it up, acting like king of the mountains, acting above it all, above trials and troubles. You've engineered the ruin of your own house. In ruining others, you've ruined yourself. You've undermined your foundations, rotted out your own soul. The bricks of your house will speak up and accuse you. The woodwork will step forward with evidence. Blessed is the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to read 12. I'll read 12 to 20, which includes violence, immorality, and adultery. So it says, "What sorrow awaits you to build cities with money gained through murder and corruption? Has not the Lord of heaven's armies promised that the wealth of the nations will turn to ashes? They work so hard but fall in vain. But as the waters fill the sea, earth will be filled with an awareness of the glory of the Lord. What sorrows await you who make your neighbor drunk, force your cup on them, and you can gloat over their shameful nakedness? Soon it will be your turn to be disgraced. Come, drink, and be exposed. Drink from the cup of the Lord's judgment. All your glory will be turned to shame. You cut down the forest of Lebanon. Now you will be cut down. You destroy the wild animals, and now their terror be yours. You committed murder throughout the countryside and filled the towns with violence. What good is an idol carved by man or a cast image that deceives you? How foolish to trust in your own creation. A God that can't even talk? What sorrows await you who say to wooden idols, wake up and save us? To speechless stone images, you say, rise up and teach us? Can an idol tell you what to do? They may be overlaid with gold and silver, but they are lifeless inside. Mm-hmm. The Lord is in his holy temple, mm-hmm. and all the earth be silent before him.
Amen.
You know, and it just makes so sense. It just makes so much sense. How foolish can you trust something that you just created with a piece of... You took a piece of wood and you created it, so you're going to, like, really...
Yes,
something you created with your own hands. So
wow.
that is definitely true. So God is aware of the sins of the Babylonians.
Mm-hmm.
And they will not escape his terrible judgment either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have Habakkuk who's saying, how are you going to let these evil people,
mm-hmm.
take captive us? God is like, well, they're going to get theirs too, but before they get theirs, you're going to get yours by them.
Mm. Mm.
But because it says, but Judah is guilty of the same offenses.
Exactly.
Exact same offenses,
mm-hmm.
of the Babylonian, because what we were reading was the Babylonian offenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
But those are the same things. We couldn't even tell. That's the same things that Judah was doing.
Exactly.
So they stand under the same condemnation,
mm-hmm.
Is what God is saying. And Jehovah concludes his answer with a statement of his sovereign majesty. The Lord is in his holy temple.
Yes, he is.
All
right.
The earth keeps silent before him. Okay? So
mm-hmm.
It's just interesting how God can surprise you, right? It's like Habakkuk was like, wait, you going to send the worst people in the world to take the captive, to take us under captivity?
Oh, yeah.
Get a taste of your own medicine. That's what having a taste of your own medicine upon you. Same thing you did to your people. Now I got somebody who's going to do the same thing to you. So you're going to get a taste of your own medicine.
That's right.
But then we see in chapter 3, you know, that Habakkuk praises the Lord. Habakkuk begins by questioning God. He concludes his book, the Psalm of Praise for the Person. Mr. Barber, can you get a Psalm of Praise for the Person, Power, mm-hmm. and the Plan of God? So go to chapter 3 and read chapter 3. Hilda, you take verses 1 through 3.
Okay.
Power, Sister Barbara, 4 and 12. The Plan is 13 through 19, which I will read.
Okay.
Person, so power, and plan.
So 3, 1 through 3?
The person. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this prayer was sung by the prophet Habakkuk. I have heard all about you. Lord, I am filled with awe by your amazing works in this time of our deep need. Help us again as you did in years gone by. And in your anger, remember your mercy. I see God moving across the desert from Eden, the Holy One coming from Mount Paran. His brilliant splendor fills the heavens, and the earth is filled with his praise. Amen.
Is the person. And now the power, Sister Barbara.
Okay, mine goes from 3 to 7 to 8 to 16, so I'm not sure where it kind of stops. But anyway, his cloud brightness like dawn exploding. Is that where it picks up? His cloud brightness like dawn exploding, spreading, forked lightning shooting from his hands. What power hidden in that fist? Plague marches before him, pestilence at his heels. He stops. He shakes earth. He looks around. Nations tremble. The age-old mountains fall to pieces. Ancient hills collapse like a spent balloon. The paths God takes are older than the oldest mountains and hills. I saw everyone worried in a panic. Old wilderness adversaries, Cushan and Midian, were terrified, hoping he wouldn't notice them. God, is it river you're mad at? Angry at old river? Were you raging at sea when you rode horse and chariot through to salvation? You unfurled your bow and let loose a volley of arrows. You split earth with rivers. Mountains saw what was coming. They twisted in pain. Blood waters poured in. Ocean roared and reared huge waves. You can stop me when we get to wherever you
stop you when you get to 12.
Yeah, it doesn't show me the break. Sun and moon stopped in their tracks. Your flashing arrows stopped them. Your lightning strike spears impale them. Angry, you stomp through earth. Furious, you crush the godless nation. You were out to save your people, to save your specially chosen people. That's it. Okay.
Thank you. Now read 13 to 19. And out to rescue your chosen people. Save your anointed ones, and this is the plan. Crush the heads of the wicked. Strip their bones from head to toe. Own weapons, you destroy the chief, those who rush out like whirlwinds, thinking Israel, easy prey. Trample the sea, the horses, mighty waters piled high. Tremble inside when I heard this, hips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me, shook in terror. Wait quietly for the coming day. Disaster will strike the people who invade us. Though the fig trees have blossoms, there are no grapes on the vines. Though the olive crop fails, the fields lie empty and barren. Even though flocks die in the field, cattle barns are empty. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful for God of my salvation. Sovereign Lord is my strength. Makes me as sure-footed deer, able to tread upon the height. It says, for the choir directors, this prayer is to be accompanied string instruments. So Habakkuk praises the Lord. He praises him for the person that he is. He praises him for his power, and he praises him for his plan. Mm-hmm. He now acknowledges God's wisdom, coming invasion, God's wisdom in the coming invasion of Judah. And though it terrifies him, will trust the Lord.
creative and redemptive work. Past gives the prophet confidence in the divine purposes and hope, time when he would otherwise despair. Yet will rejoice in the Lord. Will joy in the God of my salvation. And that was verses 3 and 18. And so that basically completes it. I mean, Habakkuk is broken up into, you know, two parts. First, Habakkuk, you know, we learn about the problems.
Mm-hmm.
Habakkuk, you know, his first problem, the people, God's reply to him. Then his second problem, how dare you let those people take us over. Then God's second reply to him. And then finally he praises God, you know, with his prayer of God the person, you know, God the power, and God's, that's the book of Habakkuk.
Mm-hmm.
So, move on to Zephaniah, next prophet. And Zephaniah is broken up into, let's see, parts. This part includes chapter 1 through chapter 8, 3, verse 8, judgment day of the Lord. That's broken up into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sections. The first section is the whole earth, judgment of the whole earth. You have the judgment of the nation of Judah, judgment on the nations surrounding Judah, judgments on the city of Jerusalem, the judgment on the whole earth again. We have the salvation of the Lord, and that's the promise of conversion, promise of restoration. So we have the, you know, it's the day of the wrath, and we have the judgment on Judah and the restoration of Judah, places in Judah. It's 630 BC. So during Judah's hectic political and religious history, storms come from time to time, right? Like, what do we know about Judah in terms of their wickedness? Harrison to northern Israel. What do we know about Judah?
They were worshiping idols.
Tell me about the kings of Judah.
Oh,
the kings of Judah compared to the kings of Israel.
They were all wicked.
Kings of Judah were wicked?
No, I was just saying the kings were wicked.
That's what I said. Tell me what you know about Judah's kings as compared to his kings, northern Israel's kings. Think difference between the two and the kings that reigned. Difference between the kings.
Okay. The northern kings were Israel, and there were, 19 kings before they went into exile, and they were all evil. And then the southern Judah, 20 kings, and only 8 of the 20 was good.
Right. So exactly right, Hilda. That's the difference, is that we have. could you name one of the of Judah?
Hezekiah.
That's the most, you know, I mean, that's the one that we know the most is Hezekiah, right? He was one of the good kings. When was David? David was...
He was in Jerusalem. But first he was the king of Judah, and then he became the king of Israel and Judah.
He was in the United Kingdom.
Yeah,
he was united under which kings? Which kings was the kingdoms united under?
It had to be before him, so that was Saul.
Solomon.
What'd you say?
It was not united under Saul.
So David was the king after Saul. So if it was united, it was united under David.
Nadine, we
David.
Can't hear you.
I'm on the phone.
But we, I mean, the phone is in and out. Let's see, Judah was special because David came from the line of the
king came after. Came after David.
The king came after David.
That Jesus came after David.
Not right away. He Solomon
way
came
before
after
Solomon.
Okay. So Solomon then.
Two kings that United Kingdom. David first.
Mm-hmm.
The kingdoms became united under David. David, they were united with Saul.
That's what I said.
Solomon, I'm sorry. I didn't mean Saul.
No, I said Saul. I said, okay. I said under David, it was united.
Solomon is the second king.
David is the second king.
So then
it's, that it was united under, not the order of kings. Saul was the first king. It wasn't united.
Okay.
Did under David, united under Saul. Saul was the second king that the kingdom was united under. Third in line, actually, Saul.
What?
Solomon and David were the only two kings. Kingdoms were united.
Under Saul and David.
Oh.
You breaking up.
Amen.
Okay. Where are we? Esau.
Hello?
We can't hear.
Hello?
You're
I'm
breaking.
Going to call back in.
Okay.
Going in and
I have to call back. I don't know why.
Judah was special because David came from the line of the Father, which was Jesus Christ. Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Him. Yes.
Yes.
Better.
The two kings that had a united kingdom, David and Solomon.
Okay.
David was the first king to unite the two. The two kingdoms was first united under David, and it stayed united under Saul. Solomon, I keep saying Saul. I guess that's what's messing me all up.
Yeah.
United, but forget not Saul. Saul ain't had nothing to do with this. right. united under Solomon, because Solomon came after David. And remember, God asked Solomon to do what?
To build the temple.
Exactly. He told David, the son Solomon, you won't build the temple. Son Solomon would build the temple.
Right.
So united those two. But what did Solomon do the kingdom to split?
He wanted to tax the people, and they thought it was not fair. So 10 of the tribes separated and went to Israel, went to the northern kingdom.
Actually, Solomon's son, Rehoboam, Solomon's son.
Rehoboam
wanted to tax the people, and they felt it was not fair.
Exactly.
So 10 of the tribes left, and that left just 2 in Judah.
2 was Judah and Benjamin, and they were in the south, Judah and Benjamin was in the south and was north. They were in the north. Israel and southern Israel.
What?
Into northern Israel in 10.
Right.
In Israel, which was Judah.
Your connection is very bad.
Are you on speaker or something?
Look, it's bad when I wasn't on speaker. It's bad when I'm now. I'm not on speaker, and it's still bad. I think it just gets bad. I don't know.
It's
it wasn't bad
now.
Until now, right?
No, it's better now.
Well, this is how I was. I don't know. I have no idea. But anyway, so the original question, and Hilda did answer it. Thank you. Was what was the difference between the northern Israel and southern Israel, which was Judah, was the fact that Judah, at least, they both had 20 kings, but at least Judah had 8 good kings. And one of the good kings was Hezekiah. And we're going to learn about, but today we're going to talk about another good king, who was Josiah. So it goes on to say that during Judah's hectic political and religious history, reform comes from time to time. And that's, you know, whenever there's a good king, they had a little bit of reform. And Zephaniah's forceful prophecy may be the factor in the reform that occurred during Josiah, another good king, during Josiah's reign. It was a revival that produced an outward change. Outward change, says, but it does not fully remove the inward heart corruption which characterized the nation. Zephaniah hammers home his message repeatedly that the day of the Lord, Judgment Day, is coming, and the malignancy of sin will be dealt with. Israel and her Gentile neighbors will soon experience a crushing hand of God's wrath. After the chastening process is complete, blessings will come in the person of Messiah, who will be the cause of for praise and singing. And so when I was telling, when I was coming home Sunday, I got into an Uber. And we were just, you know, the Uber cab driver, you know, sometimes you get the talkative ones and sometimes you don't. But this one was talkative, and he said, you know, we were talking about the holidays. And so I said, well, what holiday do you celebrate? Because I can tell that he was, you know, foreign. And he says, he told me he celebrates, oh, my God, what's the name of it? Nia? I think it's called Nia. Anyway, it's a Muslim holiday. No, it's a Muslim holiday, but it's not Ramadan. It's another Muslim holiday that they have. And I told him, I said, yeah, because I just recently learned about that holiday because now it's an official holiday in school. The schools are closed on that particular holiday, too.
Okay.
So I said to him, so he says, oh, yes, he was Muslim. I was like, oh, wow. I mean, I said, oh, that's wonderful. I says, how, you know, who do you see Jesus as being? And he said to me, oh, we have to believe in Jesus. And I said, oh, okay, so who is Jesus? I mean, who is he? What do you all see Jesus as being? He says, oh, Jesus was one of the great prophets. I said, okay. I said, well, you know, as you know, I'm Christian. I'm sure you know I'm Christian. I says, you know, Jesus, we believe that Jesus is God. And he says, yes, I know you guys believe that Jesus is the God, is a God. So I said, not a God. He God. He is God.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, but we believe in all of the prophets. So I said, well, you read Isaiah? He says, yes. I believe in Isaiah. I said, but did you ever read Isaiah? Because Isaiah predicts the coming of Jesus. He predicts the Messiah coming.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the Messiah. And he says, well, I've never read Isaiah.
Yeah.
I said, I never read it. I said, well, you believe in the prophets and you haven't read it? Because I said, every single prophet, you know, predicts coming of the Messiah, and that Messiah is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he says, well, I've never read that. I said, well, you know what? I'm going to give you a homework assignment. I want you to go home and read Isaiah, just, you know, because you just told me how much you believe and you worship these prophets. You should probably read about them, see what the prophets,
right.
These prophets stand for.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, oh, he said, I will. I said, good. Go. So, anyway, that was my encounter
mm-hmm.
with them. And so,
what kind of Bible do they read?
Oh, he said he reads the Quran. He reads the Quran. And I
mm-hmm.
said, you read the Quran. Like, okay. You know, and I said to him, I said, well, the first five books of the Quran is the same first five books of the Bible. He says, no, it's not. I'm like,
whoa.
Hey, well, I didn't talk with him about it because I have
mm-hmm.
to be. I would say, well, maybe it's not true. So I said, I'm going to have to do some research because everything that I've known is that it was, you know, because it's the same thing in the Torah. You know, they
mm-hmm.
read Genesis, Exodus, you know, those books. Are in the Torah, so he said it wasn't. But I have a feeling that he probably didn't read the Quran. You know, there's people who are in religions and they don't read.
Exactly.
You know, they don't read their Bible. We have Christians who don't read the Bible.
Christians
you know.
Are like that, exactly.
Right. So I said, well, let me just check and make sure and see what I'm saying because I'm going to look through the Quran. The next time I have a discussion with somebody, I think I'm going to be a little bit more abreast on what they know or what they should know. But anyway, so it's finishing up with Zephaniah, and it says, you know, that Zephaniah, another one of the prophets, you know, spoke of the coming of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Tanya, or whatever his name is, Yahweh has hidden. That's what Zephaniah means. Zephaniah was eventually born during the latter part of the reign of King Manasseh. His name may mean that he was hidden from Manasseh's atrocities, because you know, King Manasseh was, he was, Hezekiah's grandson, right?
So he was evil.
Amon. Yeah, his grandson, his son and his grandson was evil, Manasseh. So, the author. First verse is very unusual in that Zephaniah traces his lineage back four generations to Hezekiah.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably Hezekiah, the king of Judah. Says this would best explain the genealogy. If Zephaniah was the great-great-grandson of the godly king Hezekiah, he was the only prophet of royal descent. This may have given the prophet a freer access to the court of King Josiah, in whose reign he ministered. Because Zephaniah used the phrase, this place, and he says that in verse 1 and 4, where he says, and I will stretch out my hand against Judah, against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off from this place the remnant of Baal, in the name of the adulterous priest with the priest. To refer to Jerusalem, and was quite familiar with its features. So he knew all about the inside of royalty. Hilda, could you read Zephaniah 1, 9 and 10, and Sisavara, Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 1 through 7.
Okay. 9 and 10 says, yes, I will punish those who participate in pagan worship ceremonies and those who fill their masters' houses with violence and deceit. On that day, says the Lord, a cry of alarm will come from the fish gate and echo throughout the new quarter of the city, and a great crash will sound from the hills. Amen. 9 and 10.
Yep. And 3, 1 through 7.
To the city. And this is the message, Father. Doom to the rebellious city, the home of oppressors. To the city. The city that wouldn't take advice, wouldn't accept correction, wouldn't trust God, wouldn't even get close to her own God. And that's with the little g. Her very own leaders are rapacious lions. Her judges are rapacious timber wolves, out every morning prowling for a fresh kill. Her prophets are out for what they can get. They're opportunists. Can't trust them. Her priests desecrate the sanctuary. They use God's law as a weapon to maim and kill souls. Yet God remains righteous in the midst, untouched by the evil. He stays at it day after day, meeting out justice. At evening, he's still at it, strong as ever. But evil men and women without conscience and without shame persist in evil. So I cut off the godless nation. I knocked down their defense posts, filled her roads with rubble so no one could get through. Her cities were bombed out ruined, unlivable and unlived in. I thought, surely she'll honor me now, accept my discipline and correction, find a way of escape from the trouble she's in, find relief from the punishment I'm bringing. But it didn't faze her. Bright and early, she was up at it again, doing the same old things. Amen.
Yeah, so it says that, so this clarifies, or, you know, definitively means that he probably was an inhabitant of Judah's, particularly Judah's royal city. So his connection to Hezekiah makes him the only one of the prophets that comes from royalty.
Mm-hmm.
So the dating and setting, Zephaniah solves the dating problem by fixing his prophecy. He says, in the days of Josiah, son of Amos, king of Judah. So he lets you know exactly when he's reigning. He reigned during Josiah's reign. And 1:1 says, the word of Yahweh that came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, son of Gedaliah, son of Amariah, and the son of Hezekiah, the days of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. So he comes from a whole line of royalty.
Mm-hmm.
Josiah reigned from 640 to 609 B.C. And chapter 2, verse 13, indicates that the destruction of Nineveh is still a future event. Did you get chapter 2, verse 13, Hilda, please?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, chapter 2 says, 13, the remnant of Israel will do no wrong. They will never tell lies or deceive one another. They will eat and sleep in safety, and no one will make them afraid. Amen.
Is that verse 13?
Yeah, 13.
The 2 verse 13.
You said
of,
2 and 13, right?
Yeah, of Zephaniah. Are you?
Yeah, I'm in Zephaniah, chapter 2, verse 13. Oh, that's 3. I'm sorry.
Okay, I know this is, we're supposed to be moving that. Talking about the destruction of Nineveh.
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. Okay, 13 says, and the Lord will strike the land of the north with his fist, destroying the land of Assyria. He will make its great capital, Nineveh, a desolate wasteland, parched like a desert. Amen.
Right, right. So we know that during this period of time, that was still a future event that was going to occur, destruction of Nineveh. Zephaniah's prophecy can be dated 40 and 6 of B.C. We'll continue with Zephaniah. I think we should. So I think Zephaniah only has 3 chapters, too.
So read the 3 chapters.
We can just get through. Mm-hmm. Yeah, read the 3 chapters in full.
Okay.
Week.
Okie dokie.
And so let us. Father and our God, we thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord God, for this lesson, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for everyone, Lord God, who is on this line, Lord God. I just give them a special blessing. Put your arms around them, Lord God. Anything that they are going through or any issues that they are dealing with, Lord God, just put your arms of protection around them, Lord God, and let them know that you are with them every step of the way and that we can put our trust in you, Lord God, just knowing that you're in control, Lord God, especially in areas, Lord God, that, Lord God, let know, Lord God, and she does know, Lord God, but just reinforce to her, Lord God, that her daughter is in your hands, Lord God, and that whatever it is that she needs, whatever it is that the doctors need to do, Lord God, that
You're right there with them, Lord God. And I'm just asking a special prayer, Lord God, that, you know, that you control the situation in that emergency room, Lord God, that you control the doctors and the nurses in that emergency room, God, that they are able, Lord God, to come up with a diagnosis, Lord God, for Hilda's daughter, Lord God, because once we, you know, once there's a diagnosis, then there's something that can be done about it, Lord God.
Yeah,
so we
yeah.
thank and praise you in advance, Lord God, that you are right there with us, with her, Lord God. Let her know, Lord God, in any way, Lord God, that you possibly can, that you are with her, and keep your arms of comfort around Hilda, Lord God, as she situation and goes through the situation with her daughter and her daughter's family, Lord God. Pray for her son and her husband, Lord God, because people are at a loss, Lord God, but you're not. You know exactly, Lord God, what the future holds, and we're putting our trust and faith in you, Lord God, and we just want to thank you and praise you right now, Lord God, for what you are about to do.
Yes,
Lord God, what it is that you're about to do is only what is good. What is good is your will, Lord God, and we trust in your will, Father.
Yes.
And we thank you, Lord God, and we ask these blessings in your son Jesus' name. And, Lord God, we also want to have a special thanks for Sister Barbara for popping in, Lord God. Even if she didn't have Wednesday thing, Lord God, she didn't have to join us, Lord God, but she didn't find it robbery to just jump on here with us, Lord God, and
yes.
give us, Lord God, her specialness, Lord God. So we thank
God.
And praise you, Lord God, for Sister Barbara, and we send these blessings, Lord God.
Yes.
And in your precious Son Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Lady Nadine, what is ESR? In medical term, what is ESR?
Stage. Is it ESRD?
No, she sent me the, she says that her ESR went up from 60 to 121. So they want to start treating her for that because the test showed that the inflammation went up from thing, and now they want to do a spinal tap on her.
Oh, this has to do with her red blood cell count.
Okay. So is that good or bad?
Good.
Yeah, but why would it go? Why would it go from 60 to 121?
That's double.
Yeah.
It's used to determine whether you have any type of condition that causes inflammation.
Okay.
Inflammation. Inflammation is, you know, if you have, you know, vasculitis or inflammation from the bowels, or there's some type of inflammation that's
uh-huh.
going on in her body, and I guess they have to figure out where this inflammation mm-hmm. is.
Okay. But would that cause her not to walk or even get violence in herself?
Depends on where the inflammation is accumulating.
I see.
Just look at more and see. I'll call you back and give you more information about it.
Okay. Thank you. Because that's another problem for me to worry about.
Not worry.
Not really. Trust God.
Be anxious for nothing. It's for nothing. But in all things,
trust
prayer and supplication.
Yes.
Be concerned, but don't worry.
God. Right. Amen. Thank you, ladies.
Well,
have a
you're welcome.
Wonderful evening.
You too. I'll get back to you. I'm going to call you back, Hilda. Let me look up
okay.
more information. Okay.
All right.
We added
all right.
Your daughter to our prayer list today. Even though I
thank
got
you.
On late, I gave her name.
Uh-huh.
But we're going to continue, God willing, we're going to continue to pray for her. And
yeah.
that will be done.
Yep,
you know?
Absolutely.
God will be done.
Yes. I just turned everything over into his hands, and whatever his will will be, it will be. And that's all I could do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I know.
Yeah.
But don't worry, you know, just be prayerful.
I try
worry.
Not to, but, you know, the human side of me is going to worry
well,
anyway. But God
worry.
Is my
that
strength.
Means-
yes.
If you're worrying, you're not trusting God, so.
Right.
You got to
exactly.
either worry or you got to let him handle it.
Well,
here
right now,
go.
I'm letting him handle it.
Well, I'm sure he's glad.
Yes. Yes. He was like, look at my child. She is just worrying for what reason? And, you know, worrying about something that you can't do anything about, you just turn it over to him. Exactly.
They won't even let you in the room, as you said, so there's
nope,
nothing you can do.
No, they won't.
Crazy.
I know.
I got the news. But anyway, I prayed it all as well with her, and she's going to be in our prayers even on tomorrow night. I think Deacon Bowling already has brought her into prayer, you know, for a few weeks, I'll say.
Yes.
You know, he's been praying
yes.
for her, like, mightily, so.
Mm-hmm.
Steadily, I'm trying to say. Always
yes.
talking about praying for your daughter. So,
thank
be safe.
You so much.
Let
I
her
will.
Know
you
that
do
we're
the
praying
same.
For her.
Mm-hmm.
Let her know that we're praying for her.
I will.
All right.
Well, whenever
and
I hear from her, you know. So the only thing I could do is just wait until she's able to contact
she can
me
reach
or
out
her.
To you.
Yes, or mm-hmm. her husband. But she say mm-hmm. once they put her in a room. Then she'll be able
mm-hmm.
to, you know, call me and
have a little
text
more freedom. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. She has a cell phone.
She has her phone, but unfortunately, it's dead because we didn't know that she was going to stay, so we didn't take the chargers.
Okay, but they have nurses that can charge her phone if she was kind of
absolutely.
Asked.
Yeah. Once she gets to the room. Because down in the emergency rooms, it's a mess down there. So
mm-hmm.
she don't want to lose her phone. So the best thing to do is wait until she get into a room.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have a
be
good
blessed.
One. Love you. Thank you
love
for
you
coming.
Too. Oh, listen, my class is finished for now. So I'll be back
oh.
with you as long as I can.
Okay.
We had our concert. I told you that. We had our concert on Saturday, so.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to my popcorn because they text me and said that I'm going to get it earlier than they said.
Oh, really? When did they say?
They I just did it and they said they didn't give me a date. They just said earlier than they anticipated.
Okay.
I was like, well, thank y'all.
Yeah, because I didn't know it's a four-day event. I didn't know if they were going to wait till they got all the orders from this event and
uh-huh.
sent them out or what. So you were one of the first, if not the first.
Oh, wow. Lucky me.
To order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
thank
I did
you
it
again.
At the same time. So I was glad you sent the
link.
What you call it? Yes, the link.
The link. So
yeah.
Let me know when you get it, how you like it. Okay?
Okay, I will.
Okay, love you. Be safe.
Okay, you too.
All right.
I'm not playing the
Shalom.
Music. I'm just closing out.
Okay. Shalom.
Right. Bye-bye. Shalom.
Bye.